You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to get action with Action Station Aotearoa, the segment where we chat with the people campaigning for a fairer future.
Fuck knuckles, cock and piss, balls. These are words that you may be hearing much more or much less on 95BFM after the government announced earlier this month that it will be scrapping the Broadcasting Standards Authority, or BSA. The authority has responsibility over the broadcast of radio and television, but has long called for regulatory changes to be made given the shift toward digital media. The issue reached prominence last year when the BSA decided to hear a complaint about the digital media company, The Platform. The move was met with severe criticisms from the government, with the ACT Party and New Zealand First in particular calling for the abolishing of the authority. In its place, the government has proposed the Media Council, a voluntary body, will be involved in self-regulation of the media. However, this proposal has been widely criticised as lacking regulatory teeth. Instead of scrapping the BSA, the Better Public Media Trust has proposed that the government strengthens it with the recommendations from the government's Safer Online Services Research Project, which would see greater regulation of online and digital spaces. So, for this week's Get Action, I spoke with the Better Public Media Trust's Miles Thomas to discuss their petition to reinstate and strengthen the BSA. Kia ora, Miles. So it seems like there is some common ground between the position of the Better Public Trust and that of the government in that the BSA, as it currently stands, is not fit for purpose. However, your organisation is calling for the BSA to be strengthened for the digital world. The government instead wants the BSA to be replaced by self-regulation of the industry through the Media Council. So what's wrong with that latter approach?
Well, the problem with that is that it doesn't have any teeth, you could say. So the Media Council is an industry, voluntary industry body, so that membership is voluntary. You don't have to be a member of the Media Council. And in fact, the Platform, Reality Check Radio, are not members of the Media Council. And so they don't actually, so none of their output, media output, whether it's the stuff they broadcast or the podcasts, are actually under the jurisdiction of the Media Council. So that's one problem, is it doesn't, that it's voluntary. The other problem is that if you get a rogue media organisation that decides that the Media Council decision, they don't like it, the Media Council might say ask them to make an apology for something they've done wrong. So for example, being racist on air or something like that. The Media Council can't do anything more. They can ask them to say sorry, and that's it. And there's no way of forcing them to do that. Whereas the BSA has the statutory power, which means it's legislated by the government to actually then force that media organisation that's maybe, like say TVNZ, maybe produces some sort of racist content. It can force TVNZ to make an apology. If TVNZ doesn't make an apology, they can force TVNZ to be non-commercial for 24 hours. And if that doesn't happen, then they can go even further. So the BSA has a way of forcing rogue media organisations to toe the line and be legal and be ethical and be responsible. And that's really important. And we see over in, if that doesn't happen, for example, in the USA, where they don't have this stronger media regulation, you see what's happened. They've got media that is absolutely, utterly unbalanced and irresponsible. You've got podcasters who just absolutely do the worst misinformation available. For example, Alex Jones and hundreds and thousands of media, online media types like him. And that's what happens. And that's what will happen in New Zealand if we lose the BSA. Slowly, not instantly, but there'll be a slow deterioration of our media to the point where it's just crazy. Like you get in the USA, and that has an impact, of course, on our politics and on our culture as well. So it's actually really important.
Currently, the Media Council is responsible for regulating print media. Do we see those kinds of issues there currently, or is it not really a comparison you can make?
Media Council's pretty good in terms of they have a reputation, and most of the mainstream newspapers, all the mainstream newspapers take it seriously, and they don't want to be They don't want to come under the wrath of the Media Council. They're not the problem. The problem is the rogue, small-time crazies, a bit like you might get with on the platform or reality check radio, who don't care. In fact, they, and this is what's happened in the USA, the part of their business model is being crazy and mad and saying just crazy stuff that gets people's attention and is slightly entertaining and also appeals to their gut reaction and reactionary, and maybe they're anti-vax, so it appeals to that, appeals to the bubble that they're in. And so it's those media operators who are much more of a problem. And currently the Media Council can't do anything about them. But, yeah, sure, the mainstream newspapers like NZME stuff and magazines, and also some of the websites are all part of Media Council as well, and they all tend to be responsible. And so that's good. But it's the ones who don't, that's the problem.
Right, so the solution that the Better Public Media Trust has kind of put forward is the government adopting the Safer Online Services Research Project and having the BSA enter that kind of digital realm of regulation. Now, it's relatively easy to think how, you know, that might apply to digital broadcasts. So, like, for example, shows that pretty strongly resemble traditional broadcast media, except they're on the internet. But would this regulatory approach apply to things like social media posts or pages or comments or things like that?
Yeah, well, that's a really tricky thing, and that was probably the toughest question that they would face, that they faced when coming up with that research, was how to control social media. And it's an ongoing problem around the world. Whether to control it, first of all, and then how. You know, there are very powerful organisations now, very wealthy, and they also have, they're really only controlled by the US government, and the US government goes into bat for them if other countries try and control them. So, you know, but in Europe, some, and Australia now, and Canada are trying to put regulations around social media companies and what they, basically that they have to put pay taxes, because a lot of them don't pay any tax whatsoever, but also to somehow control what they publish. Because, you know, for a few decades ago, it was decided that social media organisations are not publishers. They're like the news agent rather than the publisher of the magazine. So they're not responsible for what people say on their platform. And that's a big problem, because it means that if anyone is the victim of what people say, they've got no one they can go and say, hey, you can't do this. They can't go and sue Facebook, for example, because Facebook says, well, it's not us, we didn't publish it, we're not responsible for this. And so that's a big change that needs to be made, is that we need to somehow find a way to make social media responsible. And I think the SOS, the Safer Online Services research followed some examples, some systems are brought in Australia and the UK, whereby those organisations, first of all, they have a voluntary code that they stick to. If anyone is unhappy with it, they complain to the voluntary code organisation. So that'll be representatives from Meta and Twitter and X and whatever else is on that. And if those organisations don't pull down the content and stop it reappearing, then there's another step that will have teeth, a bit like the BSA. That's a tougher thing, because, you know, New Zealand government, how would they, you know, they're nervous about constricting social media, especially with Donald Trump as president, and he would go into bat against any plans to curb social media. So it's tricky, but, you know, there was a solution there, and it's definitely going to be better. It's necessary, because social media, I mean, yeah, freedom of speech and all that stuff, but not freedom to harm others.
Right, yeah, and I think one of the proposals put forward in that document was that the companies would come together within a certain industry, whether that's video games or social media or what have you, and they'd work with a regulator to come up with those kind of codes of conduct.
and the regulator would be responsible for kind of interacting with them. They would have to police their own users. Now, that would probably necessitate increased collection of data on people to, for example, distinguish between someone who might be using a slur in hate speech or someone who is perhaps part of that community and is reclaiming that. Now, if we hold these big tech companies responsible for policing these kind of this kind of speech, would that run the risk of greater breaches of privacy in the kind of data that they would be collecting on their users to kind of have those nuances respected?
That's a really interesting question, isn't it? We have to decide what's more important. What's more important is it stopping hate speech, or is it allowing that data to be collected? It's already collected anyway through, you know, just by looking at what we tap on, because it goes to our news feeds. So they do really already collect it and use it for commercial purposes. No harm in using it for safety of online. For online safety purposes, in my view. But, you know, the other thing is, would they actually need to collect that information to... I mean, that's a fine line, really. They already have to... Like, for example, photographs of nudity, right? So there was that classic case of that horrible photograph from the Vietnam War of a person being shot and they were naked. And... that was deemed to be, the algorithm thought it was porn, I think it was, or something like that, and so took it off for that reason. And so that's already happening, you know. It's already, algorithms are already trying to differentiate between when something is harmful and when it's not. So, you know, we can't get away from that happening anyway.
Finally, I just want to kind of end with, the big point of your proposed reforms of the BSA. Now, the alternative that the government's given forward, you've mentioned, has no teeth. What would the teeth be that you would give to the BSA under this kind of reformation and strengthening?
Well, we've asked for the BSA to be strengthened, but it actually really what would be a better solution is for the Safer Online Services proposal to be legislated and created, so that it's kind of like the BSA. It's kind of an amalgam, if you like, of the Media Council. It's a first step, a voluntary code that they abide by, and then the BSA backs it up. And currently the BSA only regulates broadcast, so radio and TV essentially. So it would be strengthening, spreading that out, that statutory protection across all media. So it would include newspapers, online websites, podcasts, and social media.
That was Miles Thomas, trustee and founder of the Better Public Media Trust, on their petition calling for the strengthening of the Broadcasting Standards Authority instead of the government's plan to disestablish the authority. If you'd like to sign their petition, you can find it on the Our Action Station website or through the link we'll include in the description of this interview on our BCast page.
That was Get Action with Action Station Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/BCasts.